Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the Roo.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we are in the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, Labor Day edition. Hi, Pete. What's up?
How are you?
Great,
it's game
man.
Week, baby.
Yes, it is. Week one is here, finally.
Tony. So, the Labor Day. It's one holiday I don't quite understand.
Why?
Are we celebrating work? Is that the holiday?
The working man, right?
If you work hard, you celebrate it. You probably don't work that hard, so you're not celebrating.
No, I do celebrate. I did, but I'm just curious. Is that, I mean, that's we're celebrating hard work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people would say you didn't have a job for the first 40 years of your life. You played football.
I would.
Or what, how old were you, 35 when you retired?
32. 32. I would disagree with him.
I would, too.
Yeah.
But some people would say that. Just like me, they say I don't have a job either.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Now that you've been on this side, you wouldn't agree with it anymore.
Ah, it's pretty laid back, though, Pete.
Let's see you write a couple stories every
now. I'm not a writer. No.
Okay. You're not a writer?
Okay. Not a writer.
Really?
He's a broadcaster.
I'm an order.
He's a broadcaster. Mm. Didn't you see the special the other day on Hicken and Brent Martineau did?
Oh, yeah. How'd it turn out?
I saw you guys.
I missed that.
I never saw it. How'd it turn out?
Yeah, it was funny when they asked you one-word answers on certain player, and you were like about seven of them. I go, that's par for the course.
Yeah, I have a hard time shutting up. There's no doubt about that, as we all know by now.
Right. Lots to get to tonight. Of course, the Jags have cut down to 53, as has every team in the league. They've named a starting center today as well. Lots to get through throughout the night. We'll go around the National Football League a little later. And the Copy Facts face-off coming up in the second hour tonight.
JP, do we just want to get it out of the way?
What's that?
Pete saying play the kid. Can we just get that out of the way now?
Oh, that wasn't even on the list.
Well, let's just get out of the way. Go ahead.
Say your piece.
Would I play him? Yes. Do I understand why they're not playing him a little bit better?
I mean,
yeah.
It's all you talk about on Twitter.
Well, I mean, it's any kid. It's not just
you
him.
Say
it's
that
Derek
with
Carr. Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, Manziel playing.
Is Carr starting?
They don't know yet. Schaub's a little dinged up, so we'll see.
He has the best case, though, of what he did in the preseason. Carr, right?
If you had Bortles has the best case of what he did in the preseason.
I mean, Bortles had the best preseason of any of the rookies.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's Carr? Carr was
good the other night. Right. Carr threw three touchdown passes the other night, looked really good against Seattle. It was his backups. But, again, what are you getting out of Matt Schaub? You know what you have.
Right.
Not unlike certain other spots. I mean, you know what you have. I mean, I get why they're doing it. Like you said last week, how do you blow up the locker room and tell them, look, pull them out, take them out, play the kid? You're not going to do that. I get it. So I understand why they're doing it. I understand that probably better now that, you know, after I've had some talks with people. But I'll say this, I still would play the kid.
If Carr doesn't start, do any of the rookies start then, I guess?
No.
Not.
It's the first time since, the 80s, I think it was, or something like that, that we haven't had
no rookie starters.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which, and again, in this era, with the way the contracts are structured, why hold back on starting them? Because if you find out in 2 years that he can't play, then you go get rid of him and get another one because it doesn't cost you a lot of money anymore. Back when you had those huge contracts and the guy couldn't play, you were stuck with him.
You were stuck.
So now you can get out of it easier. That's my whole thinking. Plus, and this is something that you as a player would fight, and I know the coaching staff here fights because I've talked with them about it. You want to win right away, and you're not looking down the road. You're not looking to 2015. And as a coach, you want the quarterback to play that's going to give you think is going to give you the best opportunity to win. So you're not concerned about 2015. Me, big picture guy for this franchise.
Big picture guy. That's going to be your nickname. Big picture guy.
You got to look to the future.
Back to the future.
You don't agree?
I like how they're handling it. So I'm fine with what they're doing.
Here's the question.
I mean, I've said that all along.
What's the breaking point? What's it going to take?
As far as
for him to get on the field, is it going to take Henny not playing well? Is it going to take 0-5? Is it
I don't think you'll get to 0-5.
I don't think it's any one thing. I mean, obviously, if the offense is sputtering and not going well, and they're struggling, and they feel like Blake is a guy who can come in and change the course a little bit, that's probably when you see him.
I think if he had if Henny had played poorly in the preseason.
Which he didn't. That's the thing that always amazes me that gets lost in all the play the kid guys like Pete. Chad had a good preseason.
Well, It wasn't good.
Yes, it was.
It was okay.
It was good.
It was okay. It was good. He drove the ball down the field. He was driving the ball down the field like the other guy did.
He moved the ball. They moved.
It was okay, no, it was Tony. Good. It was okay.
Wasn't great. It was good.
For him, it was good.
What do you mean for him? Now you're qualifying it.
Because I'm qualifying it. Because that's what you – for Aaron Rodgers, that wouldn't have been a good one.
In comparison to all the quarterback play we saw in the preseason, he had a good preseason.
And he was the second best in terms of the quarterbacks, correct?
Well, I think it's always dangerous, Pete, to do that. We talked about this last week, is you got to also look at who they're playing against and what they're given and the looks and the volume of information and stuff that they're facing. And I think it's very clear Chad faced a lot more volume than Blake did. And I'm taking – Blake had an outstanding preseason. I'm not taking anything away from him.
They wouldn't have to dummy anything down for Blake if he played. That much I've found out. I've asked around.
No, I agree.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Okay, so if you don't have to dummy anything down for him, where's your concern? Where's your concern? And I keep hearing, well, the line. Well, you can't go into it thinking
well,
that.
Well, I don't think the –
the concern's on the line for Henny?
I don't think the staff thinks that. I don't think anyone in the building saying the line.
Okay, then what's the
concern?
Where
are you hearing that? I mean, is that
that's outside noise. Yeah. But
you should ignore that noise.
No, I think it's
ignore
foolish.
The noise, Pete.
I ignore the noise. Oh, isn't that a sign somewhere?
Keep it tight.
Here? Didn't Tom have that sign around here somewhere?
No, I have no idea.
See, I never ignored that one because I was the noise.
You are the noise machine.
But so what is and I've I asked this question, why not? You know, I keep hearing saying why, but why not? What's the why not by playing him? Why not? Yeah, I'm going to ask you. Why not?
Because you had your starter, who you named the starter, played very well.
But you can't go back on
and
that?
And did a good job. And I don't think you want to go out and start Blake. And if he struggles, bench him. I don't think that's the right thing to do.
You don't bench him. You let him play the whole year.
That's
let him
why
play it out.
I think you let Chad go out there and play. Chad didn't lose the job. He earned it. He's the starter. Why? Tell me why.
Even if the other guy played better? I know you have to qualify for who he played.
I think just saying he played better is not a fair assessment of the entire situation. He looked very good. He did a great job. He did everything you're asked. He's improved since the first day he's gotten here. But to say he just played flat out better, I don't think you can just say that without qualifying him.
Well, he drove the ball more.
Well, Pete, that's all you care about is driving the ball. That's
all you care
about. You
have to drive the ball in this league. It's a chunk play league. It's not a bootleg dink and dunk league. It's not what it is anymore.
I know, you're right.
Right?
Just go make sure you tell the Seattle Seahawks that.
Aberrations happen.
And tell the Baltimore.
One of the greatest defenses of all time.
Tell the Ravens of the year before that.
Because Joe Flacco doesn't drive the ball.
Well, I mean, but it wasn't
your. He doesn't drive the ball?
It wasn't your quarterback crushes, one of your five quarterback crushes that you have out there
playing.
Is it
five? I thought it was only four.
Wow.
It's only four.
I put Ben Roethlisberger in there. I thought you liked him, too.
I do like him, but he's not one of the four.
That's not one of your love affairs.
He's not one of the four.
It's not one of the.
You think he's one of the four?
Four that you leave everything
for. Speaking of Ben Roethlisberger. The other guy looks like Ben Roethlisberger when he plays, right?
Yeah, well, they have some similar qualities and stylistic of the way he plays.
Let me ask this, JP.
Okay, Pete.
I'm going to ask JP this.
Ask JP.
Oh, great.
I know where your answer is. When you watched him make the throw the other night to Marquise Lee, when he looked right, came back, looked off the safety, threw a dime over the top, how many times have you seen Chad Henne do that since he's been here?
Very rarely.
Okay.
That way.
End of argument.
Give you that.
So we're basing everything on one play now.
No,
Pete.
It's not one play. But if this was a copy fax face-off, you'd be beat down after the first 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah, because we're going to base everything on one.
It's not one play, Tony. It's not. It's driving the football. When you were here as a rookie in 1995,
I drove the football a lot.
No, you drove guys. You were hurt for the first couple of weeks, weren't you?
Yeah.
All right. So when you were here, who did you think should have been the starting quarterback on opening day, in your mind?
I got to be honest with you, I don't even remember what I was thinking because I wasn't concerned about it because I was rehabbing.
Okay, in camp, Mark Brunell was not the starting quarterback in camp before you got hurt.
No.
Beuerlein was.
I understand that.
What was the feeling in the locker room? Who should have been starting? What Tom thought.
No, I think back then, I don't think anyone had any feeling. Honestly, it was a different situation. We were an expansion team. Everyone was hanging on for dear life trying to survive.
Good. Guys know who's
Once
good.
Once the season got going, yes, it was very clear, Mark's the guy. And they still went back and forth a little bit, but Mark was the guy. There's no doubt about that. Once you
and
got
guys
going,
in the locker room, right?
Absolutely.
Right. You think the guys in the locker room?
I think they're behind Chad. I really do. You don't?
I mean,
you
they might
moles?
Be.
You have any moles?
I used
any
to.
Any deep throats in there?
When I was on the beat, I had a lot of moles. There's
right
one
here.
Right next to
You're
me.
Crazy.
Tony used to be great for information.
I heard
Source.
That,
what a deep throat.
First of all, he makes this stuff up. And people.
I had plenty of them back in the day.
You know, you're like the guy, the SC player that called Sarkisian
no.
a racist. You say things and think they're true.
Even
when they're not.
You never told me anything when you were playing.
No, never.
You never clarified things for me and told me things.
He's the Mark Felt of Jacksonville.
Right.
It is.
If I put you on a lie detector test right now.
I did not.
Oh, Tony.
Oh, come on now.
Don't make me name
you
instances.
You just look like you're lying.
Put me on a lie detector
Your truck
test.
Never drove by there one day back in the day and told me to write something?
No.
You better write it. You will write it. You have to write it. You never told me.
About what? What was it about?
The rift between the coach and the quarterback?
I don't recall that.
He says.
I don't recall it.
This is Jaguars Monday.
He's mixed stuff up.
No, I don't. Hey, I'm older, but my memory's still darn good.
Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Let's go to the phone line. We'll get back to this conversation.
Tom won't get mad at him, by the way. That's way in the
past. I'm not saying. I don't care. I'm not afraid of Tom. Is he going to find me right now?
He might.
You're good.
He might send somebody collect. This is Scott on the west side wants to talk quarterback. Scott, what's up?
Hey, guys. I think the breaking point is going to be between 0-3 and 0-4.
Why? First of all, why do you say we're going to get to that point? I mean, that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, I wish I felt better about it, but I mean, you've got to think about the tools you've got. I think that Gerhardt is unproven. I think that
he's
a backup quarterback.
First of all, how is Gerhardt unproven? He rushed like 5+ yards a carry last year. Every time he's gotten in during his career, he's done an outstanding job.
What's his yard per carry in the preseason? Going against the ones.
He barely played. You're really going to judge that? Because if that's the case, Fred Taylor was awful, and Maurice Jones-Drew should have been cut. Because I don't recall any of them doing anything in the preseason, honestly. You're going to base what a running back does in this day and age and how running backs get protected?
Right. You can't base it on what he did in the preseason.
Come on.
But I know where he's thinking here. Mm-hmm. You're thinking that in a league of airbacks
he's very good out of the backfield,
but I'm calling airbacks the McCoys, the Charles, the Ellington, those guys, that's not what they have. That's what you're thinking. Am I wrong?
They don't have a Darren Sproles.
They have a plotter.
Like
right, they have a plotter.
They have a plotter.
And they're going to be an offense that protects the quarterback by plotting. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try and do that.
Right, and their defense, I mean, the defense has obviously stepped it up a bit, but, you know, your first week you're going against Philadelphia, and, I mean, they're going to lose.
They're going to lose. So you've drinking the
– If they play Henny, they're going to lose.
Oh, you've drinking the Kelly juice. What's
everybody else in the league has?
Yeah, I mean, Chip Kelly. Okay, you go start bowing before your Chip Kelly.
He went to the playoffs.
Throne.
Hey, my fantasy team is made, and I'm happy.
Oh, good for you. Go play fantasy football because that's gonna that tells you a lot. That means nothing.
Well,
first of all, to just say this team is gonna lose in Philly is ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
because it's not like the Philly's a good defense. They're awful.
No, but they're probably gonna lose in Philly.
I'm not saying. Listen, I don't. I'm not. One thing I'm not gonna do is pick games.
Because, I pick games.
Well, that's fine. I'll pick every game but the Jaguars because I'm too emotionally tied to it. But this is I laugh at just, they're not very good. They're going to lose to Philly. They're going to be 0-3, 0-4. Okay, take Philly off the table. The Redskins are an awful football team.
On the road, back-to-back weeks is tough
Pete,
in the NFL.
I understand
that.
But the Redskins are an awful team no quarterback.
Let me just back up here. So the Jaguars quarterback that they'll trot out in week two is better than RG3?
Played better in the preseason.
You just said preseason stats don't matter.
Running backs.
Listen to
me.
Oh, my God.
And you know this.
First off, he's not better than RG3. So they're down. They're in the minus pool in the quarterback position. And they're on the road back-to-back weeks.
And when they play Indianapolis, which it might have the worst roster outside of Andrew Luck.
Their roster's bad.
I just love how everyone says this team's going to be 0-3, 0-4. I don't know where they get that. I mean, it's like.
How do you know? You don't know.
That's my whole point, JP.
You got to play.
Thank you. Play the game.
Play the games.
You play the game to win, Pete.
I agree.
That's right. Jeff Lagerman is with us
in
now.
2015.
From Jaguars All Access on Channel 4 tonight.
Help me out here, Jeff, please.
what are you yelling for?
Well, because
there's always yelling.
This fantasy football dude called in and saying, you know, after they're 0-4, play Bortles. I'm like.
No, he asked when the breaking point was.
Right. No, he said 0-4. I said, how are we going to get
0-4?
All you had to do was just give him a little reason. He didn't have to yell.
Yeah.
Well, he
bothered
me.
Calm about it.
Well, then he started saying how great Philly is and Chip Kelly and all that.
And then he got mad
about pretty good now.
About
offensively, they're not very good defensively, though.
Yeah, offensively, they're really good.
They're very good, but they're not very good defensively.
Yeah. They're not bad. I mean, on defense, they're not bad. I think the secondary is a little lacking, but up front, they've got a couple good players.
Fletcher Cox is a good football player.
Fletcher Cox is a good player.
Trent Cole's old, long in the tooth.
Trent Cole's still got it now. The guy that I like the most is probably Michael Kendricks.
Kendricks can fly at linebacker.
D'Amico Ryan's still a good player.
I'm not a big D'Amico Ryan's guy, but I agree with you on Kendricks.
D'Amico Ryan's not what he used to be.
Barwin's a guy.
Is a guy.
Yeah, but they got a high pick, first round pick sitting behind him, and you know he's probably going to take over at some point. The kid from Louisville.
Oh yeah, Marcus Smith.
Yeah, Marcus Smith. Yep.
They're not bad. They're not bad.
You got to keep up points wise. That's going to be a challenge
right.
now.
Right.
That's going to be a big challenge.
It's tough for defense to sub out when they're going that fast. If they're on a roll offensively, it's tough to stay up with them.
Yeah, hopefully it's about 75 degrees at kickoff in Philadelphia. I mean, I'm just thinking in my mindset. You know, with that kind of tempo, which I think Brian Sexton was telling me today, they run off a play like every 24 seconds, which is like the fastest in the NFL since they started actually recording the time between plays.
I think Buffalo was when they had the K-gun. Back in the day was maybe been
yeah, faster. But they didn't keep track of it back then. No. I think they just started recently keeping it like in 97.
Officially,
but 97.
Buffalo was faster.
But the tempo, either way, the tempo's you fast. I played against Buffalo, but their tempo is nowhere near what the Philadelphia Eagles play at, Pete. I don't remember sucking wind. It was just a no huddle. You know, you could still had time to catch your breath between plays, whereas this tempo that Philadelphia runs after successful plays, I mean, that's a challenge. You know, I can picture Red Bryant, all 340 pounds of them, sitting there going.
Here's a question for the
sound effects. It's lifelike.
But the one thing with Philly, they're not great up front. The right tackle's not very good.
They got Lane Johnson suspended for four games. Barbary is going to be playing right tackle and watching the third preseason game. Jason Worlds, I ate him up.
And he was bad when he was in Green Bay when he played.
Yeah.
He's not very good.
But the rest of them are good. I mean, Jason Peters is one of the best left tackles in the game.
And the left guard will battle you.
Yeah.
And
Harriman's a good, solid player. Kelce, center, good player.
They're not great.
Very solid up front, probably without any stands out. But the best part is about when you watch them is that they always seem to be on the same page. You know, it's not like you see them have a breakdown mentally, assignment-wise. I mean,
they're very simple.
Very solid group, and it's a very simple scheme. They actually count people. That's how they determine who they block. And, you know, and just a little tip here for all people.
Where do they count from, Jeff? Where do they start to count?
I don't remember exactly, Tony, but for all the people that want to kind of maybe get a better understanding of Chip Kelly's offense, there's a guy that actually dedicated a website to Chip Kelly's offense when he was at Oregon, and it's called fishduck.com. And he actually
fishduck.com,
I believe it is. And he literally takes you and breaks it down, the entire offense, the principles of the offense, video to support it, telestrations. And I think this guy is just a fan, but I mean, he really goes into great detail and great length to describe the Chip Kelly offense.
I mean, they're basically an inside-outside zone team.
Inside-outside zone, and that's it.
That's all they really run. They run some trap.
It's like when the Colts used to be good with Manning, they'd be simple as heck, but they did what they did.
Yeah, but the problem is the difference is LeSean McCoy is about 1,000 times better than Edgerton James, and he can put his foot in the ground.
He's good.
And get north and south, and it's over.
Tonight on Jaguars All Access, you have the Jaguars starting quarterback, Chad Henne.
Want to make sure we echo that.
I've been fighting that. Pete, I got Pete over here. Oh, my gosh.
Chad Henne's going to be the starter week one, and looking forward to talking with him.
What do you want to hear out of Chad tonight?
To me, I want to talk to him, number one, about what it's like the first weekend or the first day back after you go down to 53, because that was always kind of a shock. You know, I mean, because you go from a locker room with 75 guys and lockers are all in the middle of the room, and all of a sudden you go down to 53 and everybody's kind of looking around going, oh, hey, you made it, you know. And so a little feel for him. And then just also what his expectations are of an offense that really never had any consistency in the preseason as far as lineup goes and what he expects them to be able to do this coming kickoff weekend.
Two questions quick for you.
Yes.
What do you got on tape tonight?
Actually looking at Pete's guy, Blake Bortles, and watching a clip of Luke Bawanka and the pieces titled The Future, because those two guys, they are the future.
And then one last thing for the both of you before you get out of here. When a team plays fast, up-tempo, everybody always says it wears down the defensive linemen.
Oh, absolutely.
Why doesn't it wear down the offensive
linemen? Because they got to chase the ball. We don't.
Because defensive players have to react. you know, offensive linemen.
And you're chasing
linemen,
the ball.
And you're chasing the ball, whereas offensive linemen kind of know where they're
going. We're trailing the play.
But, like, if a team's throwing the ball a lot and that you're not really chasing the balls out and you're not – I mean, you
Oh, yeah,
you do,
but they're pass different. Rushing and yeah. then they got to turn and right, run and chase right. the ball.
Defenders have to react. Offensive players know where they're going. It takes more energy to react than it does to go somewhere where you know you're going. I mean, that's the hardest thing about playing defense because and it stresses you. That's why the defenses rotate. Otherwise, if it was that stressful for offense, they would rotate guys, you know, as much
Although
as they do.
Although in the old days you didn't rotate.
No. No, we actually, I mean, when I started it in 89, we didn't, but we were 3-4. We pretty much played the way we were. But then once we got to 1990 and Pete Carroll, we rolled. I mean, we had seven guys, sometimes eight guys, and we all played.
It was funny. You know, the best defenses we ever played against never – I mean, Baltimore, when they had that great defense, Michael McCrary and Rob Burnett played every
But they
snap.
Had a couple guys every now and again that would
rarely,
give them a blow. But it wasn't like what it is today.
And Bruce Smith rarely left the game. Well, I mean, those –
Bruce Smith.
Well, I know. I'm just saying it's interesting. But now even the best – but even the best ones –
Right. Bruce Smith didn't need to rotate because he took a lot of plays off. You know, when the play went away, he just stopped.
That's a good point. He didn't chase very much on that.
No, he did not.
Have a great show tonight, Jeff. Jeff Lagerman on Jaguars All Access, Channel 4, tonight at 7 o'clock. Chad Henney is the guest. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags. They've been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. When we return on Jaguars Monday, more of your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll hear from head coach Gus Bradley. He spoke to the media today after the Labor Day Monday practice. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Helmets and Heels Radio tomorrow night. Jessica, Lauren, Donna, and Blythe will be talking Jaguars and the NFL from their unique and strictly feminine perspective tomorrow at 7 on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I love the name of that show.
Should we rename this show somehow?
Helmets and Heels.
What would we call this show if it wasn't Jaguars Monday?
Well, there used to be a show every afternoon from 4 to 7 in Jacksonville. It's called the Pete Prisco Show.
I heard about that. Yeah.
So we could go.
I used
that.
To be a guest on that show.
We go, what? Yes, you did. With,
you know,
with Tony Baselli.
It got canceled.
Yeah.
But it was on for 7
every
years.
Every time though. I had a player on with Pete, the guy would go in a slump after that for some reason.
Hey, I made Giancarlo Stanton a star.
Oh, yeah. You were responsible for that.
I mean, back then he was Mike Stanton.
Poor Joey Norito never pitched ever again after that season. He was done.
I did. I killed Joey.
He was hot that year, too.
Yeah.
Great job. Jaguars Monday
killer.
Continues.
Gus
Major
Bradley.
Career.
Yeah. Hey, deep throat over here.
And even after. As I pound him to get into the Hall of Fame every week.
Oh, 17 more weeks of this. Here we go.
Jaguars were back on the practice field today for the first time, getting ready for Philadelphia. Of course, Gus Bradley spoke for the first time after the cuts down to 50. First of all, were there any cuts that surprised you guys here? It was a pretty easy cut.
Keeping the rookie guard was kind of a little bit of a surprise.
Shatley, I didn't see that coming. I thought they'd only keep 9 offensive linemen. So
it sounded like some folks had interest in Shatley. They had to hold
I thought he'd be a practice squad player, but I think that when they realized they weren't going to be able to keep him on practice squad, they had to keep him on the active roster.
Other than that, no. There wasn't a surprise
Which
at all.
Is a good sign for this team, right?
Well, I'll tell you what is a good sign for this team. There were 26 players claimed off of waivers. And one of them was the Jaguar. If you're cutting a player who's getting claimed by somebody else, it's a good sign.
Right.
Nate Stupar.
Right. Well, the Falcons are desperate for linebacker
It's better than last year when you're picking 10 guys up.
That was the only one where it came down between Stupar and Thomas.
Right.
And that was.
And I think if Rashad Reynolds didn't get hurt,
he makes it,
and probably Jeremy Harris is my guess.
But other than that, I think it was pretty straightforward, I thought.
A little different from last year. Of course, the Jags last year in after the cuts, claimed a bunch of guys. Ten guys.
And then two more later. I think it was a total of 12 before the first game, if I'm not mistaken.
That happens in the first year of a build, though, right? You have to get guys in.
Well, they're the second youngest team in the league right now, and that's a good thing, too. I mean,
Rams are number one,
Number one.
Think 2 years
that.
In a row.
Rams have a ton of talent, and they're still for number one. But
no quarterback.
You know when it gets good is when you start cutting.
Good players.
Really good players. That's when you know your team is good.
But how many people cut good players nowadays?
Nowadays, they're gone before you even get to cut them. You're right. You get rid of them before it's time to cut them. The whole offseason is paring down the roster.
You don't see very many good players get cut anymore.
No, if you did an all-cut team from yesterday, you'd have a lot of problems putting together from Saturday. You'd have a lot of problems putting together a team that could even, you know, resemble a good football team.
I mean, you think about since I played, there's two extra teams. It's 106 extra guys that make teams now that never did before.
Plus, they didn't pare it down. The cap wasn't an issue back then, so guys didn't have to go to get down under the cap, and veterans stuck around longer, and so your cuts were – I mean, like for example, a guy like Bruce Wilkerson, who was on your team, he was a backup or whatever, he had bounced around the league forever. He'd have been high cap number now, being a veteran. You would have had a hard time keeping him around as a backup. So it's different now. It's changed a lot.
Gus Bradley today, he knows his 53 are young, but he's happy with what he has.
Yeah, we like the guys that we have. We understand that some of them are young, and you know, but that's no excuse. You know, they've had OTAs and training camp, and you know, and everybody might make some mistakes out there. We just got to try to limit them. But we're pleased with the abilities that they have.
It's one of my favorite. JP, did you ask that question? I love when you brilliant reporters.
Whoa! It's attack night. What is this?
At these press conferences,
he's always attacking. He doesn't realize he's in the media now too.
And I love the question when they say, which obviously Gus was asked, "How do you like your team?" What is he gonna say? I think they're terrible.
Did you ask that question?
No.
Was that you that asked that question, JP?
Who
asked
John Osier?
Exactly. That's my point. I mean, what's he gonna say?
Right.
Nope.
Right.
Terrible. They're no good. We're screwed.
Right. One time I'd like
over.
To say. Well,
ideally,
you'd like to hear him say, well, you know what? I like this part of our team, but I really don't like that part or this part of that part.
No coach is going to say that.
Of course not.
You can't.
Of course not.
I'm not saying Gus is lying or anything, but that's the standard coach.
I'm
just going to
call you Arian Foster.
Why is that?
Did you see what he said last week?
No, what he said.
He said all the media in Houston ask mundane questions.
Yeah, he's probably right.
Or were they mundane?
John
McClain's
been around. Be nice to John McClain.
John McClain.
He's been around the league forever.
I did see the tweet. John McClain likes Foster, though. They go back and forth. Have a good time.
I don't like Arian Foster.
Were the questions mundane when he wanted more money?
There's other mundane stuff around, too. But no, I'm not a big Arian. Arian Foster's one of those guys that, and you know these guys, they're smarter than you. They really aren't, but they think they are. They're dangerous.
Smartest guy in the room.
Yeah. Arian Foster.
Just ask him.
Mundane.
No,
Did I ask mundane questions when I was on the
league? No, you're good. I know I'm not the smartest guy. I know that I'm struggle in that area.
Apparently, I ask mundane
questions. He pinned
the
mundane question on you.
I asked the question.
No.
Did you say that, JP? You said no. You threw Osher under the bus.
That's exactly who it was.
But the fact that you thought he would ask that question.
That's insulting.
It really is.
Well, you played the sound from it.
But it doesn't mean he asked the question.
Well, usually JP is self-promoting himself, so that's why.
No. Who says that?
Look at Joe shaking his head. He agrees.
Really?
No.
JP self-promotes himself.
Yeah, self-promoter.
Ain't nobody else going to do it.
He's living by the credo. What's good for me is good for me.
That's not the credo.
That is the credo.
No, I learned that from Pete.
Yeah.
Smart man.
You might want to stay. If Pete taught you that, you might want to stay away from that.
Mm. What's good for me is good for me is always good.
No, it's not
true.
That's
exactly right.
That's not true.
I don't know where I get all accused all of a sudden.
Yeah, that was
the
bad.
Nicest guy for 3 weeks.
No, that was bad. You called him mundane.
I never said mundane.
No,
You
said it was a bad question. No, you said it was a bad question.
I heard it.
I said, who asked
it
the question?
It is a bad question. It is a bad question.
Thank you.
It is a bad question, but you pinned it on JP.
I don't know if I even want to play any more sound bites.
No, play.
I don't know if you know.
Let's see. I
don't know who asked this question.
You play the sound bite, and I'll predict who said the question.
Let's see what other questions JP asked, because that's what sound we're going to get.
If the question lasts for about an hour, then Gene Furnett asked it.
If it's a dissertation, that's
the show, actually.
If it's an essay.
Of course.
And if he tells you what he thinks before he asks a question.
Gus Bradley named Jacques McClennan the starting center for Sunday's game in Philadelphia.
Jacques is going to be our center going into the game. So we haven't fully announced it yet to the team, but he took all the reps at one, or most of the reps today at one, and Luke got some in there. Just, I think, his experience and, you know, where he's at right now. We feel that Luke still has an upside. He'll continue to compete in the reps that he gets. But we just felt at this point in time, Jack is the guy.
This is
– right call. Yes, without a doubt. Listen.
Was that a mundane question?
No, it's a good question. Philly's going to be loud, number one. It's going to be crazy. It's opening day. The last thing you want is a rookie center and a rookie guard next to each other trying to make calls, IDing, communicating. Plus, you have a guy who's played left tackle only 12 snaps his entire career. You got your backup right tackle playing. And it's a group that all five haven't played much together. And so I think putting Jacques in there is the right thing. It's not like he's a wily old vet who started a bunch of games, but he's been in that situation before. He's not going to
– How many starts does he have at center?
I don't think any. But he's played guard before.
Well, McClendon, yeah, he has two starts at guard the last two games last year.
Correct. My point is, but he's been in games before, Pete, NFL games.
Again, I go back to my theory on who's better.
I think McClendon – listen, I think Blanco's going to be better long-term. Right now, I think McClendon did a good job, and I think it's the right choice.
If McClendon's better, then he should play. If Blanco's better,
Pete,
he should
play. In this world of just black and white, easy, this, that, yes, no. It's not that easy when you make a decision. You have to look at where you're going, the situation, who you have next to him. You know, you're going to have two rookie starters. I mean, you're going to have three of the top four receivers are going to be rookies.
Grow together into something.
That. But, Pete, you don't have to grow all – you don't have to do it in one day.
No, you're doing
it's
it
a process,
it's a 16-game season.
It's a process.
Okay. I think the more they play together, the better off it is for the long run.
Because this could change in a week or two, right?
Sure. Blanco could go in there. Yeah,
if Blanco hadn't hurt his ankle, would he be the starting center?
Possibly. More reps. There's a chance. Yeah. But I still like the fact going on the road first game with two young guys right next to
you. You know what I like? I like the fact that you're going to have a rookie center, you're going to have a rookie guard, you have a second-year tackle, you have a second-year left tackle when they all get healthy, and then you have a veteran in Beatles who's only 28 years old. And – to me, you grow together. You get the young wide receivers, quarterback, you grow it all together.
It has to be the youngest offense in the NFL by
it's
far.
Young. It's young.
I mean, it is.
Oldest receivers in his fourth year, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, it's young. No question about it.
Let's take a timeout. Was that question acceptable for you,
take
Tony?
Take a timeout.
Was the question acceptable?
It was much better.
That's great. Jaguars Monday.
We'll give you an applause for that. He gives you an applause for that.
Good job.
Not mundane.
Golf clap. You weren't as into the the applause as you were the criticism.
It wasn't your best.
Jaguars Monday. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We continue after this on Jaguars Radio.
Brent Martino, Jessica Blaylock, and anyone else you can think of. Weekday afternoons on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, home of the Jaguars.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The JTA's new route optimization initiative will provide reliable service, increase bus frequency, rename routes, and decrease travel time starting December 1st. For more information, visit JTAFLA.com or call 904-630-3100. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Phone lines are open. We'll get to calls a little bit later. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Tony, I want to apologize to you. I got a little hot last segment because you were attacking my questioning.
And I'm not going to apologize.
But I want to extend the olive branch and say congratulations on the on-campus salute to the Hall of Fame at USC this weekend.
Very nice. So what did they do for you?
I ran out with the team.
Did they almost run you over?
No, but it was funny. You go in the tunnel, you get all ready, and they said, you're going to run out with the team, this is what you're going to do. I said, no, I'm not running out with the team.
Oh.
And they said, what do you mean? I said, I got fake body parts, and I'm not running anywhere. I said,
that's too much information, by the way. We don't need to hear that.
I will walk. And they said, okay. They said, what do you want to do? I said, I'll walk down.
It is L.A., I guess.
I'll walk down the grass, and then when the team starts running. So what you do is you walk – you go behind the screen, they open up the screen, and it's the whole team's behind me. And then I walk to the bottom of the ramp, hit the grass, and you wave and do whatever you're doing. And I jogged and took an immediate right to the cheerleaders and let them run on the field.
Did the 40,000 people clap for you?
80,000 in the stadium, Pete. 80,000.
Pretty good crowd.
There was a golf clap roar in the
it was.
So did they announce it at halftime?
And then the second quarter, they did an on-the-field presentation. They gave me so Pat Hayden and all the College Football Hall of Fame guys, and they gave me a big plaque and then a USC Letterman jacket that was hot. It was so hot there I had to put it on.
Well, you don't have a Letterman jacket?
I do, but it's a brand new one.
They give
you
a jersey and your jersey?
No, they give me some plaque. I guess it's the big thing. I get some big plaque at the
– Yeah, all the Hall of Famers get the same plaque.
Yeah.
When is that?
December 9th in New York.
It is in New York. Because, you know, the Hall of Fame is in Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be able to go to Atlanta and go see your whole thing, and that's cool.
We have part of the festivities through some sources at USC. Tony spoke with the team. He had actual address to the team before the game. And here's a listen. We got the audio.
Let's hear this. I want to hear this.
I'm Tony Boselli, and I want you on my team.
You can get in the game.
And I want you.
Bring me some chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding.
Smart. Make a play. You'll score.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
I want you on my team. Don't be left on the sideline.
Chocolate pudding.
That's become a part of me. Always will be. Help make the magic happen. To me?
Chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding.
Smart.
Was I supposed to get a trophy for that?
That's inspiring, man.
It really is.
Oh.
It went out and played well.
Those kids came out and won.
They scored 52 points.
You could bribe people with
700
chocolate
yards
pudding.
Of offense after that.
Who knew you could bribe people with chocolate pudding?
Oh, man.
That's incredible.
That's good.
I'll say this. I never thought I'd see SC go pretty much 95% shotgun and run 104 offensive plays in one game. They're fast.
It ain't John Robinson anymore.
They are fast. And they run.
Student body right is no more.
Not like they used to be. They still run the ball. They run the zone and power football. They still do it, but it's just out of different formations and a lot of movement and a lot of up-tempo stuff.
He's a good coach.
Sark's a good coach. Really? It was a lot of fun. It was great. So it was good to be there.
Did the whole family come with you, or you just go by
yourself? I just took my wife and one of my boys. I took my second son.
That's good.
The fun part for me was, and I don't get to do this very often, a little tailgating before the game.
Mm.
Oh, great food.
Mm. Hung out. Off the diet?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the big couple pounds?
What's the big tailgating food in LA? I don't even know what they eat.
Brie.
No. So we had my brother-in-law sees the tickets. He goes to every game still, and so he has a great spot right next to the Coliseum. And he had what do you have? He had burgers, a bunch of chips and guac and dips, and then they had short ribs and a big cake and a lot of tofu. You know,
Pink's hot dogs,
sodas, beer. Everything.
It's funny because we never get to do that.
Never. I've literally tailgated like two or three times in my life. It's actually, and I know this has nothing to do with the Jags, and whoever's listening right now is probably like, why are you telling me this? But, you know, if my boys are good enough to play college football, I mean, I'll go to every game. And one of the things I look forward to is being one of the tailgating parents before the game. That tailgating's a good time. Yeah, the TV set up, watching early games. It was fun.
I can't remember I went to an Arizona State game by myself. I was in Tempe. I walked over and bought a ticket. And about 3 years ago, it was the first one I saw in 30 years at Tempe. But I took my wife to Georgia when they played at Georgia. It poured the entire day and night in the game, and it was awful. So you couldn't really tailgate or anything. So I'm with you. Down the road, I would like to be able to do that.
I'm telling you what, it was a lot of fun just hanging out. And, you know, people are playing, what's that, cornhole game and – throwing the football. The kids are playing tackle football on the grass. And
when we walk into stadiums and you look around and you see that, I mean, you look at people like outside Jaguar Stadium, there's tons of people having a great old time
sure.
over there.
Oh, tailgating's the best. I mean, and being on call, one thing fun about college football, especially if the stadium's near the campus like SC is, or on the campus like a lot of SEC schools, I mean, the whole campus is tailgating. I was walking around campus, the bookstore, and there's food. It's just good time. So it was. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for recording my speech.
I mean, it's really inspirational.
Thank
speech.
You. I'm glad that everyone got
the men of Troy had a huge day.
Don't use that when you do get into Canton, by the way.
That speech?
No.
You don't want. Don't use that at the Waldorf on in December either. Okay.
No. So don't have Joe put a bunch of splice a bunch of couple.
No.
A bunch of.
No, that was.
That was real audio. Don't accuse us.
When
of
was
faking
the pudding?
Stuff.
When was the pudding? Was that right. Last year on this show?
No, that was a commercial. St. Vincent's commercial for my hip.
Okay.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll hear from Gus Bradley again, talking about Philadelphia.
Yes. That was a great segment, guys.
That's all that segment was for.
We wanted
to hear the spirit,
man.
Thank you very much.
Big. We'll hear from Gus Bradley. Your calls coming up. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Join your Jacksonville Jaguars to celebrate the 20th season and participate in the Jags Throwback Thursday starting September 4th. That's this week and every Thursday leading up to the home opener. That's Sunday, September 21st against the Colts. Share your pictures in Jags Throwback Year with hashtag JagsTBT. The best picks will be shown on the world's largest video boards at Everbank Field. Four lucky winners attending the game will get a chance to go on the field during pregame. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, and Tony Boselli. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 855-6351. Nancy in St. Augustine is on the line. You've been holding for a bit, Nancy. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I just have a request.
Okay, hit me.
What's that?
What is that?
The request is that you guys please slow down.
Nope.
Can't do it. We won't do that.
I can't understand it all when you all talk at once or when you all get
I don't know. Sometimes you just talk too much. I don't know what you're talking about. Ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about.
You're doing it just now. No,
no, no.
No, you're crazy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Relax and speak clearly, please. Tony, in particular.
Yeah, come on, Tony. You know what?
I don't speak very good English. I'm sorry. It's my best. It's the best I can do.
Listen, Tony, you have a lot of important things to say, but you need to slow down.
Can you call my wife and tell her that? Because she thinks I'm full of hot air.
What?
Exactly, Tony.
That's exactly my point, Nancy.
That's the point.
That's what my wife says all the time. What?
Well, I would tend to agree with your wife.
Yeah.
So would Nancy, obviously.
You need to slow down a little bit. I think what you're saying is interesting and important.
I thought you said you couldn't understand me. Now you can say it's interesting. I appreciate Nancy.
This is the best call.
Hey, Nancy, we're giving you a hard time.
Well, we're joking. We'll try to do better, Nancy.
What else can Tony do better, Nancy?
Just speak a little slower and a little more clearly. I think what he's saying is interesting and important, but I can't get it.
If I'm not speaking clearly, I might be saying gibberish.
Well, you are saying gibberish.
See, that's my plan. That's my whole plan.
But you explained everything nicely and clearly when you were talking about how you got your award. I like that. That was very good.
It was all about him.
And nobody interrupted him.
I knew what I was talking
Tony
about at that point.
Tony is the one interrupting for everybody.
Well, that's my job. Nancy, have you not got the roles of the job? I like to interrupt.
What do you think the I at the end of his name stands for? Interrupt.
That's what I'm supposed to do.
I know. Tony, you need to let somebody
Hey, Nancy,
else have
in all
hand.
Due respect, I got a mom and a wife. I don't need another woman telling me what to do. My goodness.
And they're telling
Get
you
in line,
exactly
Nancy.
What I'm saying to you.
Priceless.
Nancy, thanks
Holy
for the
cow.
Call.
Oh
thank you for the call tonight in St. Augustine.
Oh, my gosh.
Nancy, all over you, Tony. You got to speak slower, more clearly.
Okay, I'll work on that.
There is an I in Bocelli for interrupter. We're going to get you one of those shirts that says Bocelli Interrupter.
When did that start? Have you always been like that?
Like what?
Always this just over the top, get so angry when somebody doesn't think like you, Tony?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
So am I, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how...
That's what makes us...
That's how it works. I don't know what to tell you.
All right.
It's probably not going to change anytime soon.
You are really loud, though.
I know that.
Right.
Okay, should I be quiet? I'll be nicer.
Talk like Jim Nance for a while.
Well, boys and girls.
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
From Augusta National.
It's time for a nap, Nancy. Close your eyes. Enjoy the sound.
I don't know. It might be past Nancy's bedtime.
Oh, easy. Oh, come on. Now you're getting personal.
Pete, that was me, Nancy.
No,
that was
that's
right.
It might be past my bedtime.
If you want to be insulted by Tony Bocelli, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The phone lines are open.
For not me. Insulted. Interrupted.
Interrupted.
You know, here's the other thing I don't need. I don't need Josh Scobie tweeting me saying, best call ever. Shut up, Scobie. Just kick the ball.
By the way, Osher tweeted out about, he said, yeah, that wasn't a great question.
Yeah, it was a terrible question. Dumb question, Osher.
Sorry to throw you under the bus there, Osher.
But you did.
But it happened. Jaguars and the Eagles coming up this Sunday. When we come back on Jaguars Monday, we'll hear from head coach Gus Bradley, and Derek Marks on the Philadelphia Eagles offensive tempo and how you catch up with those guys. That's coming up. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, recapping today's practice. The latest edition is up. Also, check out Denard Robinson mic'd up in the preseason finale against Atlanta. And plays of the week from the Atlanta game as well on Jaguars.com. Jaguars Monday continues, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I think Nancy should be a regular caller to the show.
I liked it. It was fun. It's good to get pushed back once in a while.
Very pleasant lady.
Yeah, I didn't like her.
You wouldn't. She was critiquing you.
Yeah, and you kept interrupting
Nobody likes
her.
To be critiqued.
I do. I enjoy being critiqued. It's going to make me better.
Yeah.
I bet you love those team meetings when Tom used to call you out.
No problem with it.
Did he ever call you out in team meeting?
Yeah.
For what?
You never missed blocks.
I remember one we played the 49ers. 99. Remember when we blew out the 49ers here?
What year was that?
99. Opening day, 99, the rainy game.
Yes.
They had some big defensive end who was lined up with like a five technique outside of me, and we were in zone. And I wasn't I didn't drive him off the ball far enough and just stalemate. And we watched the first 10 plays as a whole team, whole offense watched it. And he called me off and said it wasn't physical enough. Okay.
That was it.
And then he ripped Keenan for dancing too much in his routes.
One of the best route runners who ever played the game.
I said, okay. Then he yelled at something else. We won 43-0, I think.
Well, yeah. You know what? That was one thing about him. He was worse after a big victory like that than he was after it.
Wanted to make sure we didn't have a big head.
Right. He was bad after that. Even with us.
It's impossible. He was popping it every time, shooting us in the head.
He's bad. He was bad that way. He was bad with us when it was in weeks like that.
He didn't like that.
Did you interrupt him, Tony?
No. That's why I have so much pent-up interrupting now.
Yeah, you're making up for lost time.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles will welcome the Jaguars 1 o'clock Sunday, week one. You know, everybody talks Philly, Foles, McCoy, fast tempo, Chip Kelly offense. Is it all it's cracked up to be, Pete?
We're going
to
find out this year, because here's why. Yes, it's simple, but like you mentioned, the counting and all that and everything else, these defensive coordinators in the National Football League are smart men, really smart men. They're going to do things differently. They're going to figure out some things against this, and then you're going to counterattack it, and Chip Kelly's very good at that. So we'll see. The other thing is the quarterback for real? Don't we have to find that out? You think he is, but is he for real?
Well, I think a couple things. I mean, Pete makes a good point about the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Dude, Chip Kelly's a very smart quarterback. I mean, he is very bright, and he's innovative. And listen, they're going to have some success. They have good players. I think letting DeSean Jackson go was – I mean, he's stretched the field, big time player. Who's going to replace him?
How do you
him?
Replace that?
You got Cooper. Riley Cooper. You have
Macklin
coming off an ACL, so you don't.
Jordan
know
Matthews,
there.
The rookie.
Jordan Matthews, who's, I mean, you don't
he's
know.
He's had a good, pretty good preseason.
Yeah, but he's a rookie,
right?
Now they have the best, arguably the best back in the NFL, LeSean McCoy. What he can do,
the best back.
Yeah, running the ball in and out of the backfield. So listen, they're going to be good, but I go back to this. Every era, let's go back to the 49ers, West Coast offense. Bill Walsh was an innovator ahead of his time and put all kinds of pressure, and they had some of the best players ever played the game as well. But, you know, and a lot of people run the West Coast offense now, and they have. But defensive coordinators start figuring out and made adjustments, and if you have good players, the West Coast offense is a good offense. Just like any offense is a good offense, you have good players. And that's where it'll evolve with Chip Kelly stuff. Is it very innovative? Is it very good? Yeah, but defensive coordinators will figure it out, and then it'll be based on execution, how good his players are. And if they execute his system and they win one-on-one battles, because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to a lot of times in the NFL is one-on-one matchups, then they'll be successful. But he's not going to trick everybody and out-scheme everybody and be the great – I mean, all the time. They're going to figure out things. And
I think the offense puts a lot of pressure on your linebackers and safeties in the middle of the field because
it's all space.
Right. And they're so good at ball faking inside and then, you know, coming down and throwing one over the top of the linebackers in front of the safety. But I'm with you there.
Yeah, same thing that – I mean, listen, we had this argument last year about the read option. And it didn't die, like Pete said, but it was –
pretty much dead.
It didn't die. It was much less – and they said, you know, I remember 2 years ago, oh, the read option, that's, you know. Listen, coordinators figured it out. They did some different things. Is it still an effective play if you really do a great job? Sure. But are you going to wear people out with it? No. Chip Kelly stuff's the same way. They'll figure it out. They're going to have game plans. They'll start getting tendencies. They'll figure out what they're going to do. And then Chip Kelly will adjust. He's a good quarterback. He's a good coordinator. I mean, he was successful. Look what he did at Oregon.
You made a good point about DeSean Jackson. Forget the plays that he makes down the field.
Stretches the field.
He clears it out for everybody. And that's hard to replace.
Is Jordan Matthews that fast?
No. That's hard to replace. You don't just replace that.
No.
Because that opens up all the area in the middle for all those
right.
routes and rubs and everything else that he does. So I think I think that's going to be something that's going to be missed, you know. And the other thing is you know those little bubbles they run to the side and everything? They're going to figure them out.
Well, here's I mean, listen. Last year in the playoffs, when they were hot, who did they lose to?
Saints.
And the Saints shut them down.
Right.
Couldn't move the ball in the second half.
Right.
It wasn't like the Saints were a great defense.
No.
But they have a very good coordinator. Rob Ryan's an underrated coach.
I would agree.
He's a good coach. And they figured out, had a great game plan, and they took it to him. Listen, that's why I laugh. And I'm not saying the Jags are going to win.
They'll be feisty, though.
But let me tell you, it's not like, oh, suddenly it's going to be a video game with Chip Kelly going.
No.
I would agree with you. It's not going to work like that.
I would agree with you.
This team's too talented on defense.
I think on defense, this team is going to be feisty
Gus
every
Bradley
single week.
And Bob Babich and Todd Walsh and the rest of that crew on the defense side of the ball will figure it out.
They're good coaches. The problem, though, JP.
Yes.
Is they might be working against short fields. Because I don't know how good this offense is. And I know the Eagles aren't good on defense. Not really good. They were bad last year, as a matter of fact. They were really bad against the Pats. But how good, you know, short fields, Tony. If the line doesn't handle it.
I'm not worried about the line. I really am not that worried about the line. I'm worried about the young receivers.
Look, running wrong routes.
Rookie receivers, it's hard in this league. And you're going to play, your top three are going to be Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, and Cecil Shorts.
And Allen Robinson
will get some time. Not much, though, but he's not going to be. I mean, those three guys.
That's right.
It's two rookies. One undrafted. No, he's done a good job. I'm not taking anything away from him. But that's not an easy – that's uphill.
Yeah, but he'll only be throwing five-yard bootlegs anyway. Oh. So it's I can't help myself.
Before we get too far along.
Why doesn't Nancy call and yell about stupid comments like that?
You did slow down this segment, though, Tony. I noted that.
Thanks,
JP. Slow down a little bit.
You know what I noted? You know what I noted? You stopped and asked a good question.
We caught up with Cindric Marks in the locker room today about this Philadelphia tempo and how it can affect this Jaguars defense.
Well, we've been getting ready for it all year. Our offense has been on a lot of up-tempo in practice. We've been going a lot faster in practice, you know, and for us as a pro, you got to manage your body and have your body ready for it. You know, they were supposed to be fast last year, and I heard they got faster. But from watching film, you can't see it. You got to wait until we watch TV copies. But, you know, it's just all about being ready for it, having that knowledge about it, and just going out and playing.
Yeah, you rotate guys in and out, but if they're on the field going nonstop, it's tough to get guys on the field.
Well, you can simulate it in practice as much as you want, but it's different when you get out there, as you know. When you get out there on the field and you're going and going and going and things aren't going right and you're trying to regroup and the scores, you're down 7-0 and they're driving or whatever. I mean, it has an effect on you. I've always been a big proponent of playing fast.
You want to know how you stop the up-tempo offense like that?
How's that, Tony?
Win on first down. Put them in second and long. It's hard to go up tempo if you get negative yardage or gain a one or two on first down.
But the way
if they start winning first down, that's
but the way they run the ball,
then they're working downhill on you and it's hard. But you got to win first down.
But the way they run the ball, and they led the league in rushing last year, which kind of takes some of that away.
No, that's what I'm saying. You got to win first down.
But the way they spread you out and they run, they run the way I would run. Air. Spread it out. Could you imagine if Fred Taylor played in an offense like that? My God. Seriously. I mean, you spread them out, and you run cracks and creases. A guy like that gets through, makes a safety miss, it's 60 yards. I mean, that's the way. Would have been easier for you guys, I know that much, up front, if you had played like that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. We did all right. We're
pretty, pretty good running team.
Foles, last year, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
It
goes back to the argument, though, for you, Pete. Enough chances for him? Like enough chances taken, that's too few interceptions.
But right? It's a little different in their offense, you know. And all the stat heads will go back and point out that how well he did throwing the ball down the field. And I go back and I looked at a couple plays. I'll give you a couple examples. At Green Bay, he had 2 long touchdown passes. If you go back and looked at him, if you graded those plays, you would give him a negative. One, he threw in a double coverage, the ball tipped off the safety and popped into DeSean Jackson's hands for a touchdown. The other one, Riley Cooper was wide open down the field. He threw it to the pylon, and Riley Cooper ran over there and dove down and made a great catch to get the touchdown. So you look at him, you go, okay, they're 2 good plays. And when I look at a quarterback, I say, okay, those are minus plays. He made them, and on stats, they look great. And the stat heads will go, oh, he's great throwing the deep ball, but those are minus plays. So I still think he has a lot of work to get to. They make it pretty easy on him. You know, he throws to a lot of wide open guys.
It's a very
guys.
Simple passing game. Very simple passing system. A lot of crossing, a lot of bubble screens.
And then when you jump the bubble screen, they'll throw over the top. But again,
easy throws. It's all built on the running game.
Again, though, without DeSean Jackson, you should be able to sit a little better on
it. I think it's going to be different. I mean, he must really not like.
He didn't like him. He did not like. Plus, you got to remember, there's a little arrogance there. My offense will work no matter who's in it.
We'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key. To me, who's going to, for the Eagles this year as a football team, who will allow them to back people off and create all the space in the middle? Because the space is going to be there from LeSean McCoy. He's going to create space because the linebackers are taking those false steps a lot of the time. But if your safeties aren't worried about somebody getting outside, then they're going to be able to creep up a little bit. And that's going to diminish the space in the middle.
Everyone talks about the passing game, and I know Pete's fixated on it. The reality is, and go back to Oregon. They're a running team in Oregon, and they're a running team now. And so if you stop the run and go watch in the national title game when they played Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't run the ball, weren't effective. Go watch when they used to struggle with Stanford. Couldn't run the ball because those big guys, everyone says, get them space. Okay, you get them space all you want. If you're getting whipped at the point of attack, doesn't matter.
The running game was different, though. They used to run jet sweep a lot, and they don't run it as much.
Go look at when they struggled. Go look at the Saints game in the second half. Couldn't run the ball. They're not going to beat you just throwing the ball. You stop the run, you beat the Philadelphia Eagles. You stop their offense.
I would agree with you. I wouldn't. As much as I love the pass, the way they run the ball, you're exactly correct.
Everything's predicated on that.
It's McCoy.
Are there run-stopping defenses in that division? Philly going to win that division?
Yes.
Yeah. Outside of an injury to McCoy, I think so.
Although, I'll say this, and you probably would agree with me. I think Coughlin does some of his best coaching when nobody's expecting him to do anything.
Boy, their offense is so bad right now.
But it's preseason.
Yeah, I agree.
It's bad. New offense preseason. I just think that's when he's at his best.
I hope he does, because if they don't make the playoffs, it's over.
Maybe. Probably.
Yeah, it's over.
Probably. There's no 100% certainty on that, but it depends on how it happens. I mean, if the quarterback went down and they didn't make the playoffs, it's not over. If he plays the whole season and he has a bad season and he changed coordinators and he's not running his offense anymore, then I think you're correct. Then yep. I think it's over.
Even if they don't fire him, I think he just says enough.
Probably. I mean, yeah. But they'll be feisty. The Cowboys are going to be so much fun to watch and so bad on defense.
They're going to be so bad.
But they're going to score a ton of points, though. They'll score a ton of points. They're going to play from behind by a lot. They're going to score. I mean, they're going to – every Sunday when you buckle in to watch the Dallas Cowboys
who will be
play,
the coach next year at the Cowboys?
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I agree.
He's on the other sideline this week. He's on the other sideline this week. Jim Harbaugh will be the coach of the Cowboys next year. And then Washington, God only knows.
They're terrible.
They're not terrible.
Terrible.
They're not they'll win at Houston this week.
They're terrible, too.
Yeah, they're terrible.
But Ryan Mallett. Remember, everyone's like, trade for Ryan Mallett. He's great. Give him a sixth-rounder or a
seventh.
Seventh.
So Belichick took Ryan Mallett, thought he was going to draft him in the third round and use him to bargain a chip and get something higher.
Went backwards.
He drove him down into the ground. He drove him into the seventh round. And another thing about the Patriots, while we're on them, Tom Brady, remember how you take less money to keep your team around? You can keep Logan Mankins around.
And Tom wasn't happy.
Well, you don't ever take less money. Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Goes back to your saying, if it's good for me, it's good for me.
And that's the bottom line. But then again, his wife makes $100 million a year, too.
And she's not ugly.
But the team's not loyal to you. Tony, the team's not loyal to you. I don't care what anybody says. The team is not loyal to you. That's a bunch of garbage in any way, shape, or form. And there's no loyalty. They keep saying there's loyalty. Logan Mankins is not a good player. He's not a great player anymore. He's not
he
as
was
good as,
very good, though.
He used to be really good. Last couple years, not as good. So they asked him to take a pay cut. He said no. Well, they asked him to take another pay cut. He said no. Shipped him off. There's no loyalty. They don't care. And nor should they. It's a business. You know that. You know as well as anybody.
Jaguars Monday. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Get your group together for the best game day experience in the NFL at Everbank Field. All-inclusive VIP access, the new North End Zone platform, including spa cabanas, special group ticket pricing, and more. Reserve your group experience today, jaguars.com/groups. When we return, the copy facts face-off. The records are thrown out the window. The Jaguars Monday continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
Jeff Prosser.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Jaguars Monday continues. Phone calls a little bit later, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli. It is time for the Copy Facts Face-Off. The asterisk record of the preseason is erased. The regular season is here. Both sides, no wins, no losses.
I don't play hard in the preseason anyways. I know I'm on the team already.
It's a different game now.
It is a different game. I'm ready for it, too.
Tonight's topic, tight ends, and specifically Rob Gronkowski. Well, he's going to be on the field for the New England Patriots, which is good news for New England. But the question is Rob Gronkowski still the top tight end in the game? He has been out for a little while. Pete, what do you say?
If Rob Gronkowski is healthy enough to play...
It's over, I win. There's the thing, he's only played like three games
the last
2 years.
That's not the question.
I'm the winner.
Hey,
no.
Take it from Nancy.
Winner.
Just hold on, you'll have your time.
Thank you. Play the music, because he's not on the field. He's
Tony
hurt.
Tony Buscelli interrupted
broken
again.
Broken elbow, broken forearm, busted knee, busted ankle. That's the last 2 years he's been a walking infirmary. And by the way, his back's been bad, and he was never healthy at Arizona either. Why he went in the fourth round. He's not the best tight end. And even if he was healthy, Jimmy Graham by far is the most dynamic tight end in today's football. It's not the old days where you have to be a point of attack tight end. You are a pass catcher. 86, 1,215 yards, 16. Count them. 16 touchdowns, average yards per reception.
He's looking up stats.
Yeah, you are.
You're looking up stats. You got your phone out looking up stats.
14 yards a catch.
So you're saying because of injury, Rob Gronkowski is not the best tight end in football.
That's right.
Okay, so then were you the best tackle in football?
I was
in my mind, you're the best tackle I've ever seen in my own two eyes, but your career was cut short. But everybody makes the case that Jonathan Ogden was a better tackle than you because he played longer. No, you're talking about injury.
I'm talking in the time a player starts his career to the time he retires.
No, I'm using you against yourself here. I'm using your career against yourself. You were the best tackle I saw with my own two eyes other than Anthony Munoz,
I
always said that. It doesn't take away anything about you as a player, the fact that you didn't play long enough, okay? When Rob Gronkowski is on the field and he's starting Sunday at Miami, then he is the best tight end in the National Football League. And here's why. He can get down the field. He blocks.
He can't run like Jimmy Graham.
He blocks. Does Jimmy Graham block?
Yes.
Oh, he does not.
Yes, he does.
No, I'll pull out 50 plays and show you Jimmy Graham doesn't block that well. In fact, Jimmy Graham is so sensitive about his blocking, when you ask him about it, he gets all defensive about it. So, to answer your question, Rob Gronkowski, best all-around tight end in the National Football League when he's on the field.
Jimmy Graham
bar
is
none.
99 catches, 85 catches, 86 catches.
Who has the most career touchdowns in a season for a tight end? It's not Jimmy Graham. It's Rob Gronkowski.
Hit 18 one year.
Rob Gronkowski. He can't get down the seam. He's not a big play tight end. He's big, strong, physical, and can block. Jimmy Graham is
so let me
a
ask you good a question,
receiving
let me
tight
ask
end.
You a question right now. Today, what's the date? September 1st, 2014. You're building a squad. Pick any tight end you want. Who's the first tight end you pick? I'm asking the question. Right now, September 1st, not 2014.
Gronkowski's playing. I'll take Gronkowski.
No, hold on. You're picking. You have to pick your roster today.
I'm taking Gronkowski.
And that's why you lose. Gronkowski won't play all year. I got Jimmy Graham.
You know for a fact Gronkowski's not going to play.
I got Jimmy Graham.
You know for
Jimmy Graham's a better tight end.
He's got to get a little crystal ball. He can see the future.
No, didn't they he is a tight end, right, Graham? They decided the arbitrator did. Yes. Okay. Yes.
He's a great player, Jimmy Graham. Rob Gronkowski's a better tight end, period.
You're lying to me when you say
Jimmy Graham can't block.
You're saying
he block?
You're a liar, Pete. Because right now, if I said you had to pick one tight end, you're picking Jimmy Graham.
I'm picking Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski is on the field, healthy. Rob Gronkowski's a better player. You don't think Rob Gronkowski, healthy, is a better player than Jimmy Graham?
No.
You don't. Yes, you do.
In today's football.
Yes, I saw that look.
Yes, you do.
Not in today's football. I do not.
What can Jimmy Graham do that Rob Gronkowski
can't?
He can
split out. He can win one-on-one against any
player. Gronkowski can do it, too.
Not against any player. No, he cannot.
He can split. Hey, I just watched Jimmy Graham against Aqib Talib last year in New England. He split. He played a man-to-man the whole game, and he caught one pass the entire game. So you can take him away, too. Do you ever take Gronk away? Do you ever take Gronk away, ever, when he's on the field healthy? No. Did Seattle take away Jimmy Graham in the playoffs?
Yeah, they doubled him the whole time.
You double Gronk, and he's healthy. You're not beating him either. Gronk is the best tight end in the National Football
League. And the year you're talking about, the year he had 18, he had Aaron Hernandez, who arguably was just every bit as good as player as he was.
What? Now, that's about 10 demerits right there off of this argument.
The two of them
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
It was very difficult. Breeze, you couldn't double one of them.
But look what they have in New Orleans. They have all those. They had
Sproles. No, what do they have?
They have Sproles opening
really?
Up.
I didn't know Sproles played last year with the Saints when he scored 16 touchdowns feet.
Yeah,
Sproles. No, he didn't. He played with the Eagles, you idiot.
No, he's with the Eagles now.
No, last year he did not play with the Saints.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I don't think so, Pete.
Yes, he did. He's with the Eagles now. You're wrong.
Final arguments, guys.
Right. Well, if I'm wrong about Sproles, he wins.
Tight end is called you block, you catch, you become a factor to pass the game. It's not just one-dimensional. And Jimmy Graham is as great as a player as he is. He's one-dimensional.
He's not.
He doesn't block.
He's a better blocker than he gets credit for.
He's not a good blocker. He is not a good blocker. He's an okay blocker. Rob Gronkowski is a great blocker who's almost like a tackle blocking.
Yeah, you win.
Yeah, you're wrong. The winner in week one.
You'll be hearing a lot of this when they play, too, by the way.
The winner in week one.
You like this fight,
CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist Pete Prisco. He's 1-0.
I saved my good stuff for the regular season. You used all yours in the preseason.
It was a.
Yeah, Darren Sproles was a heck of a threat for 29 catches for 194 yards.
He's on the roster. I mean, he was on the. He got
at
hurt.
Least you knew what roster he was
he
on.
Got hurt.
That's why. I as soon as I didn't get the roster right, I forfeited.
No, you were losing anyway.
You were.
When I used the injury,
anyway.
When I used the injury thing against you right away, you were done. Right? He was done. That was the winner right there, right off the bat.
Yeah, it's been so long since Gronk played. He was by that year. He scored. He was unstoppable.
He was unreal.
He was the best.
He's
in
unreal.
Football.
When was the last time he played?
Well, he had the elbow, yeah. And then last year, remember the guy went. It was a TJ Ward yeah. submarine.
It's basically 2 years since he's been
yeah.
playing.
Yeah, he's a great player when he's on the field. Though.
When he's healthy, he's.
I mean, he could do. There's so much you could do with him because he can get down the field. He can block. He's
or he
tough.
Can't. He doesn't run like Jimmy Graham. But
no, he doesn't run like Jimmy Graham.
Will he be the same? Can he be the same? Can he be that? 2 years away from the field.
It's hard.
You know what, though?
Time away and the injury's hard.
But ACL isn't what it used to be.
But it's 2 years away from the game. That's the hard part.
He also has Tom throwing to him. That helps. Yeah. It's just like Jimmy Graham has Drew Brees throwing to him. I'll give you a tight end. You want to watch a young tight end play? Keep an eye on the kid in San Diego, Green, and the kid in Kansas City, Kelsey. They're two young tight ends that can do like Jimmy Graham and get down the field. Good players. If you're in a fantasy league, take them.
Oh, you're the fantasy guru now. That's
I'm
right.
I'm not the fantasy guru, but I'll give you advice. Well,
how many leagues are you in?
I have one. I'm in with a bunch of guys at work that we use on the show because I'm on a fantasy show down there on Sundays now. And then there's one that we're getting in. It's the CBS writers against the CBS radio guys. And then on the other side of the bracket, it's the CBS TV guys and somebody else, and we play each other. So it'll be fun. Mm. You in any?
I'm in two.
Who's just your
buddies?
Who'd you pick?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. I got another draft coming up Tuesday
I picked
night.
Aaron Rodgers.
I picked Drew Brees. It was Rodgers or Brees. Rodgers went right before me. I took Brees.
He probably picked Gronkowski.
See, I've come back.
I got A.J. Green, too.
I've come back from – I pick a lot of young guys. I speculate a little bit. I came back to fantasy years ago. I played in the league with a bunch of guys at CBS and won and did great. But then I always – I hate the idea of the running backs can – a guy can come in and get two or three two-yard touchdowns and get – all those points, and a guy can rush for 180 yards and get no touchdowns and get the same amount of points. It just something does. There's too much emphasis on the running back in that thing, and we know now in the way NFL is, there's no emphasis on the running back. I sent something out the other day on Twitter about the running back, and Maurice Jones-Drew got all. Did you see?
That.
He
I
got
saw
all
that.
Defensive.
What did he say? What'd you say?
College games are ruining the running back.
What?
Yeah.
You said that?
He did. He did. Because I said,
why are college games ruining the running
back? Spread?
Oh, the two guys at SC rush for 225.
The spread's ruining the offensive lineman. It's not ruining.
I agree. That, no, you and I agree on that part.
A couple of Alabama running backs that are doing pretty well right now with a regular offense.
But you know the problem with Alabama players? They don't do very well when they get to the pros
because they're beat to death.
Down the line.
He caught Nick Saban. Tom Coughlin's them. He beats them to death.
Well, I just lost this copy fax face off too. I guess I can't argue that one. Yeah,
2-1.
Hey, 2-0.
Mark Ingram averaged 7.1 per rush in the preseason.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Big year for him too.
And Eddie Lacy's a good runner.
Yeah. Eddie Lacy is good. Trent Richardson's not very good. And you know who didn't have a very good year last year? Womack.
Womack, yeah, the guard.
Womack,
yeah.
Good, Fluker was better than Womack.
Fluker's good.
Fluker is a good
tough guy.
When we return on Jaguars Monday, we'll go around the National Football League a little more on Mallett. A little more on Alex Smith. Kansas City too, and
big money.
We'll talk
15
Michael,
million a year.
Good for him.
We'll talk Michael Sam.
Smart to do it now
when we get back. Yes. Too. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More Jaguars Monday after these words on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Ladies, the Jaguars Women's Club, presented by Steinmart and Culligan, was created with a female Jaguars fan in mind. Members receive VIP treatment, including custom membership kits, exclusive opportunities, and a forum to stay connected. For more information, go to jaguars.com/womensclub. And the NFL 101 event in mid-October, still on. More info coming soon. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli.
There you are.
Phone line. Yeah, here's Boselli back in the studio, you know, into the College Hall of Fame now, just kind of wanders around.
Yeah, I kind of roll. Do what I want.
Phone lines are open. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Bill on the south side wants to talk about Gronkowski. Bill, what's up?
Hey, I was calling to stick up for Tony. First
Thank
of all,
you.
Congratulations, Tony, on your induction. Second of all, yeah, I mean, Gronkowski, it's like anybody else. If you can't stay on the field, yeah, he looks great on paper. Well, they don't play the game on paper.
Well, he'll be on the field Sunday.
Oh, and I hope he does well. I mean, I do. And I have one other quick question. What is the downside to just letting Blake Bortles start the beginning of this season? Chad Henning's done no matter what, and he hasn't shown anyway that he's any better or worse than Bortles. So why not just let Bortles go out there and tell him, hey, you know, we don't care if you go 0-16. All we want you to do is get experience and get out there and just try to win some ball games, make the fans yell a little bit. And to me, putting Henny out there is just a waste. It really is. I mean, he's
Hey, Bill, let me interrupt you because that's what I do. You know, first of all, you started off with a lot of promise in this call, agreeing with me about Jimmy Graham, but you spiraled downhill quickly into an abyss that just makes no sense. You know, there's more than one person on the football team than Blake Bortles. There's 52 other gentlemen, coaching staffs, a lot of guys that make their living based on being productive and trying to win ball games. So going 0-16, just not okay. Go ahead to the Detroit Lions, and I know guys who were on that staff or were part of that organization, what that was like. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Go 0-16, who cares? You don't tell anyone that. First of all, you have 53 guys, not just one. And the downside is you go up in a situation that he's not prepared for with a bunch of young other players, and I go the other way. What's the downside of waiting two or three games and putting him out there? What's the downside, Pete?
That's two less games he's going to play.
And you know dang well, as I do, at the end of the season, whether he plays 16, 13, or 10, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it matters. It matters. What if he plays two, three?
It affected Mark a lot in 95 when he played about nine.
He would have been better if he played 16.
So we would have gone to the Super Bowl?
Maybe. In 96? No. He still didn't see the front side safety. He might have seen the front side.
It would have changed the guy running the right route.
Derek Brown, you're throwing Derek Brown.
I didn't say that. I didn't say any names.
I did. Kevin Gilbride told me that. I agree with the caller. But you know,
0-16 is okay.
No, it's not about 2014. You're stuck in player mode.
Yeah,
you're in the media now.
Tony is thinking
a player.
From players. And
right,
say,
you want to win. You want to play to win.
I don't think the guys.
Oh, that'd be great for the franchise. Let's go.
So just by playing Bortles, you're not going to win? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. I'm responding to the caller.
Do you have a better chance to win with Henny? Is that what you're saying?
Early, I think so.
Okay. Well, I disagree with you. But that's the argument that they're going to make in the locker room.
What was the crying call in Indy, suck for luck, that year, right? I don't think the guys in that locker room wanted to go 2-0.
No.
They were either.
No, you never want to lose. Nobody wants to lose. But you have to step back from that, and the big picture for this franchise, the big picture is that the more experience that Blake Bortles gets for next year, when the team will be good because they have money to spend and they'll have another draft, and all those players will be in year that he drafted in year one will be in year three, that's when you go make the move. So the more experience he gets this year, the better off it is for 2015.
Let's go back to the phone line.
Bill and Pete can go have a beer afterwards.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jerron on the west side. We'll talk about Blake Bortles. What's up? Ron?
Okay, here we go. I'm going to try to make this quick. I got to go with Gronk, but I got to say when he's healthy, I think he can block, he can go catch. I got to go with Gronk on that one.
Smart man.
Okay, but, great. That's great. Swell.
Smart man.
Move on.
Bortles, I mean, I really think that Bortles should have a shot to start this year. Just start, and you'll have any for backup if something goes down with Bortles, but you need Bortles. And what position do you think Conwell is looking at next year in the draft?
Since all right, let me just say this right now. What was this guy's name?
This is Duron.
Duron. Yes. I'm going to use you as an example because the next person who calls and starts talking about the draft before we even play a game or anywhere between before week 12, we're hanging up on. See, we're not talking draft.
Oh,
you see, that's why when he talks about being a general manager and all that, you have to look forward, Tony. You haven't even played a game.
I'm not the general manager, Pete.
You want to be.
I know, but right now I'm not.
You play one. Play one, too.
On TV.
I thought you were going to be a tandem GMs.
We are. No, he's going to be the coach. I'm going to be the
GM. So you're the one looking forward to
next year. That's exactly how it would be. He'd be like, oh, no, we can have a chance to win at Philadelphia, so we're going to play the veteran quarterback. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, in 2015, you're going to go to the Super Bowl. How's that?
We're going to the Super Bowl now.
You're gonna have if they play the kid all year, they have a real chance to be a darn good football team next year.
Did you say Super Bowl if they play the kid?
I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
I just heard that.
They're going to compete for a playoff.
I'll say this about the AFC in the coming years. With Manning being gone sooner than later, Brady's not a spring chicken. Roethlisberger,
he'll be around.
He has a while. Luck is going to be around, but I mean, the power is going to change in the AFC.
And if you have that guy, the power will go to you and stay with you.
I agree with Pete there. The power is changing in the AFC without a doubt, and it's not the strongest conference. For the last decade, it's been the strongest conference, and now it's shifting to the NFC.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Kathy on the west side talking quarterbacks. Kathy, what's up?
Hey, hi, guys. I just wanted to say, well, last week I heard you all talking about I was in the car, so I didn't get a chance to call. I was agreeing with Tony on the Blake Bortles thing. So,
thank you.
So just throwing in my two cents. Maybe it's some being gun-shy because of the Blaine Gabbert thing.
No, you're
but
smart. You're
I have
smart.
To agree with you, Tony. I don't see the big rush. You know, you got a veteran and you got a rookie, and kids got to learn. And my biggest thing that I say is I think the big problem that came with Blaine, one of the problems, was when they threw him in so early, they strengthened his weaknesses, and they made his strengths weaker. And I don't want to see that happen.
Kathy,
let's give the
Kathy,
kids
that's
good.
Look, I'm going to interrupt you because I'm going to play Tony right here and interrupt. And you can't compare Blake Bortles to Blaine Gabbert. You just can't. They're two different people. If Blaine Gabbert had waited to year four, he wasn't going to be any good. Period. End of story. Blake Bortles is a different quarterback. Everybody uses Blaine Gabbert. Oh, they rushed Blaine Gabbert. They rushed him, and he wasn't any good. If you rush him and he's good, like some quarterbacks have done, Matt Ryan being one of them, he played well as a rookie, made some mistakes, but he played well, and it grew what he became. Then you become a better quarterback. You can't. Everybody keeps using Blaine Gabbert to compare him to Blake Bortles. You can't do it.
Do you think Blake Bortles is that good that we can just throw him in right away?
I do.
I think Pete does.
I do.
I think that's pretty obvious.
Well, I'll
Pete
say
does.
This. Where Pete, I agree with Pete.
Thanks
on that,
for the call.
On that point, I think Blaine's good. I mean, I think Blake is good enough to start.
Okay, I'm going to ask something.
I really do. I think
know
he's,
you do.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask this for you because you were there. Derek Carr, was he rushed? Would he have been good if he had waited to year three?
David Carr.
David Carr. Don't give me the glossed over answer either.
Let me answer it this way. I do think to be a successful starting quarterback, you either have something, I tend to think it's God-given, in your inside that allows you to be that guy in the pocket and that guy in the huddle, that guy in the locker room, and that guy in the most pressure-packed position in all of sports, in the hardest position to play in all of sports. I think there's something inside a guy, which I think Blake has, that allowed you to be elite. Now, I don't think you have to have that to be okay. And so maybe David Carr could have been, in a different situation, a middle-tier quarterback. He was very talented, very gifted. I'm not sure it was it's nothing against them. There's just not very many guys that have that. That's why there's only four or five elite guys.
it's the it of the position. The when the game's on the line, he walks into the huddle, and you know, you look at his eyes, and you know he's going to take that ball and he's going to drive it down the field no matter what. Now, he might not do it all the time, but in those situations, he's going to do it. He's not going to get, you know, come unglued in bad situations. He throws an interception. He's not going to get just down in the dumps. That guy is the one.
The rush doesn't affect him.
Right. He
stares. You know another guy like that who's not elite, I don't think, but has that ability is Eli Manning.
Right. In crunch situations.
When it counts the most, and he's it doesn't matter how many times he's been hit, doesn't matter how bad he's played. It just
when it comes down to a Super Bowl winning drive, he's the man.
Or even when they had to win late. I remember I did the Jets Giants game that last Super Bowl run they made, and they had to win, and they were backed up. The Jets were taking it to him. He was getting knocked around. He stood in there, threw a bomb to Victor Cruz, and everything changed.
Yeah, it's that it. So I think there are certain guys that have it. I think Blake Bortles has it. And I don't know what it is, because when you watch him, the balls flutter on the practice field. It doesn't look right. But when he gets in that game, it's a different guy. It's like there's a certain guy, and you've played with him. Everybody know you played him when we were kids or whatever, that he didn't practice very well. But when the game started, boy, he was a different guy, no matter what the sport, whether it's basketball, baseball, whatever. And that's what he is.
And listen, it goes for every position, really. It's just amplified with the quarterback. There's certain guys that just – typically the better players just it's not just physical talent. If it was just physical talent, there'd be a lot more really good football players. You can't play this game just because you're a great athlete or you have great physical ability. I mean, we talked about Deion Sanders last week, about you saying he's the best corner ever. And we were talking him and Ronnie Lott. I mean, Deion Sanders is the greatest athlete, one of the greatest athletes ever walked this earth. But he also had something inside of him when it was – time to go on an island all by himself. He didn't. I mean, there was nothing. You know, you look at the great ones, Richard Sherman, great left tackles, Anthony Munoz, or Walt. I mean, go down the list of great every position. It's amplified with quarterback because so much is on him, both physically and mentally. But all great, in every sport, you have to. It's something inside that individual that takes them to the next level.
And I always use people give me crap around here because I use Peyton Manning a lot, and I do. But if Peyton Manning's physical skills were dissected, just chopped up and dissected, and you didn't know anything about him, and you threw him on that thing, and you said
you wouldn't draft him.
No, but the extra work and the countless hours in the film room and knowing what you're doing before you do, and being able to read everything, that's all part of
making
it.
Making snap decisions.
It's all part of it. It's all in your head. It's your head, your toughness, and your heart. It's all that. And accuracy and where you put the football and all of it. It all adds up. And being able to go through your progression. See, to me, this is a progressions league. It's always been. It always will be. You can take all these read options and run off, and eventually – it all come back to your progression.
I go to who I think is the greatest quarterback ever to play, my favorite. I mean, I'm biased, but John Elway.
You are biased.
Well, but I mean, one of the greatest ever.
He's in the conversation. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
But when it came down to a two-minute drive, is there anyone else you wanted back there besides him?
No.
I mean, he just...
That's why you guys were lucky Jimmy Smith dove in the end zone for a touchdown. You wouldn't have beaten him that day. He would have got the ball back and went down the field.
I did not want to find out.
No, he would have. Right. I mean, that's who he was. I mean, he... But Marino had it, too. He just didn't have it. He had it. He didn't have people around him. Marino could have done that, too. I mean, I'm a big believer in that. But
Marino's a great player.
Great. Great. He had it. You know, somebody told me that I was down in Miami a couple weeks ago, and somebody said, oh, you know, Marino, if you know, the thing about him is he did this one thing, and all he did was throw the football. Well, yeah. Could you imagine Marino in this era?
I was going to say, if Marino played in this day and age, he might have thrown for 100,000 yards.
He threw 48 touchdown passes in 1984 or 5 or whatever.
When they were mauling receivers.
Right. And he had two little guys with him. I mean, you know, Clayton was good and Duper was fast, but they weren't great receivers. Marino was fantastic. I always said if he's my guy, I would take him. And I was not, I grew up in South Florida.
You're biased.
No, I wasn't. I hated the Dolphins. I was never a Dolphin fan, but I love Marino. I could watch Marino play all day.
One more phone call, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Charles on the south side. Talk defensive backs, it looks like, Charles. What's up?
Yeah, I'm an Appalachian alumni and so proud of Demetrius McCray for, you know, sticking it out. This is his second year. I think he's made the team. And, you know, go App State, and it sounds like they just picked up Tony Williams, too, from the Indianapolis Colts.
On practice squad, right? Yeah. Wide receiver, yeah.
Well, yeah, so, you know, Demetrius McCray has a chance to play a long time.
I think
because he has great physical ability, great length. And he's really taken the coaching well, and he's done everything they asked him. I think he's gonna be. He's made the team without a doubt. I mean, he's gonna play. And he's gonna be a good corner for a while. I think.
Would it be a shock if their corners next year are Colvin McRae and Grotz?
We had to see Colvin first. He's coming out an ACL, but
we might see him second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, but Rashad Reynolds is another guy who
he's a good player.
They loved it, nickel. I mean, Will Blackman still got some years left, and Alan Ball. The corner position it's young, has some inexperience, but you got to like the direction, and safeties as well, what that secondary can look like over the next 3 to 5 years.
That's why they attacked that so heavy last year in their first year here, because it takes a little longer to develop that position, right? I mean, that's cornerbacks.
It's a tough position to play.
It really is. So you have to start there. Jaguars Monday continues. We'll come back. Yes, we will talk about some news around the National Football League. We'll get to that Alex Smith story that happened today. Last segment of Jaguars Monday. Last chance for your calls, 2-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jaguars Monday wraps up after this on Jaguars Radio. Do you have what it takes to be the best in fantasy football? Join the Jaguars Armchair Quarterback League, powered by Xbox, and draft, trade, sign, and waive players in hopes of being the ultimate fantasy football general manager. Win great prizes such as Xbox gaming consoles, signed jerseys. Register now, jaguars.com/fantasy. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. We mentioned some of this stuff a little earlier. Mallett to the Texans for, a sixth-round pick? Was that right, Pete?
Seventh-round
pick.
Conditional 7th.
A conditional seventh-round pick. Mallett to the Texans. Obviously, quarterback issues in Houston if they're going to go trade for
Fitzpatrick's not very good.
Why'd they get rid of T.J. Yates? Because I watched him play in the preseason. He looked pretty dang good to me.
Why'd they get rid of him?
Yeah, I mean, he's better than Fitzpatrick.
Well, he threw, 260-yard touchdowns against the Jags last week.
But you know what? T.J. Yates was fighting for that job in Atlanta, the backup job with Renfrew for a while there.
Yeah, I think he won
close.
It.
Yeah, I did think he won it last week. But, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't very good. My joke, I call him the helium balloon because his passes stay in the air for about a week. They just... he's got no arm.
No.
And so he's not very good. They get rid of Keenum. They draft Tom Savage, and he's not ready. I mean, fourth round. I said this the other day on Twitter. The Texans, for as great a player as Clowney's going to be, they blew it by not taking Bortles. They blew it. You draft a quarterback first. If you don't have one and you think there's a friend, and clearly this, they liked him. They just didn't like him enough to take him number one. They blew it. They should have taken Bortles. And I said that before the draft. People say, oh, you're saying that in hindsight? No, I said it before
the
draft.
I'm glad they didn't.
Oh, sure. Sure you are. Because this team will have a franchise quarterback. Well,
Clowney would have gone to 3, too, because the Rams were taking Robinson. They weren't good. They wouldn't.
They might have taken Clowney. I was there in April. They might have taken him. But here's the other thing. O'Brien had a better quarterback at Penn State than he has now. Hackenberg would start for the Texans, right?
Yeah, they're not very good.
No, they're bad. They're going to be a bad football team. I feel bad. No, I don't. But J.J. Watt plays hard, works hard, does everything the right way.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's going to get paid, too.
Speaking of getting paid, Alex Smith got paid. 4-year extension, $68 million. Is he worth that kind of extension?
It's basically a 30 guaranteed, basically.
Yeah, and $15 million a year average. You know, is he worth it? No. But in a quarterback-starved league where you have to have one, somebody, I get it. And I think it's the right move on his part, because I think the Chiefs are one of the huge step-back teams in the league this year. You look at their roster, their offensive line's not very good. The rookie first player is not good at all. They have the right tackle's out four games.
He's been terrible this preseason, hasn't he?
Bad. Sure. Yeah, they have a bad line. They don't have any weapons outside. Bo suspended for the first game. They have Charles, and he's a great player. Defensively, they have issues in the secondary. So he was smart to take the deal now, because I think the Chiefs are stepping up.
How'd he get so much more money than Kaepernick?
Kaepernick took a as-is deal, and I think his agent did him a disservice. His deal, Kaepernick's deal is show me and we'll pay you. Show me and we'll pay you.
I have no idea why he took it.
I would have taken that deal. Unless he's
play one more year, they're going to be desperate. They're going to have to sign you anyways.
Unless he's confident in his own abilities. By the way, did you see Boone signed? Didn't get his deal either.
We knew he would.
No, he didn't get his deal.
I know. So we knew he would sign, though. We said that.
He walked in for $2.5 million. He held out the whole summer for $2.5 million, which it's more money, and they can't franchise him after 2 years. But he was asking, supposedly he turned down $4.5 million or $5 million or something like that.
You said from the start, they always show up.
And I agree with that.
There's too much money
now.
They're
not going to miss a check.
Back in the day, they used to miss checks because it wasn't as much money. And that never – remember when Sean Gilbert sat out a year?
He got paid, though, for it, too.
In 1985, two Chicago Bears during the Super Bowl year didn't play because they were holding out. Al Harris and Todd Bell never got their money back.
Yeah, it's hard to hold out.
It is. It's a whole year. Yeah, but nowadays, the money's so great, why would you even hold out?
Got to get
and
that
football's
paycheck.
The one sport you never get that year back. I mean, because you get to a certain age, you just can't play the game anymore.
Right.
It's not like basketball or baseball where
right.
longer careers, even hockey, you have longer careers. You just don't have that.
There's only so many earning years in your body. Why waste one? I mean, it's an earning year. That's a year.
Well, and that's why the owners always have the upper hand in the union fight.
Of course. There's no loyalty. They'll cut you in a minute. Your contracts aren't binding. No, it's all about – that's why – get what you can when you can. That's why when we talked about Brady before, you didn't take as much as you could have. Don't applaud him for that. That's nothing to be applauded about. That's stupidity. You get what you can. Always.
Well, he didn't need the money.
It doesn't matter. You always get – and by the way, you know, there's some talk that that's all just lip service anyways, you know.
He really didn't care?
No.
He took all the money
his
he could
deal,
get.
When you look at his deal, it's not nearly what they portray it as
right.
being.
We finished with this. Michael Sam was waived in final cuts by the St. Louis Rams. Did not make the Rams practice squad either. They've signed all 10 players on their practice squad. Will Sam get signed, Pete?
No.
Will you make a practice squad?
Down the road, maybe. Look, Adam Schefter sent out a tweet saying there were 12 players that had three or more sacks in the preseason, and 11 of them are on an active roster, and one of them is on a practice squad, and only one isn't. Well, first off, he didn't have three sacks. There's a play in against Cleveland, I think it was, late in the game where he piled on and got credited with a sack. He's not that good a football player.
Well, listen, and I know a lot of the media is making out that he's not being signed because him coming out as a homosexual man. And the teams don't want the media and all that around it. The bottom line is he got beat out by an undrafted rookie free agent that got the last spot on the Rams. He does not play special teams because his speed is the issue. If I'm not mistaken, Pete, he doesn't run great. He's an undersized defensive end. Every year, whether you're straight or homosexual, that guy has trouble making rosters. I don't care what he does in the preseason, unless you are putting the numbers up, getting two or three sacks against top end tackles. With the first group, I mean, all the time you hear stories like that of guys that, because they're tweeners, maybe not fast enough to play linebacker, not big enough to play defensive end, have trouble making a roster.
Plus, in this league nowadays, if you have any legitimate pass rush skills, they're going to put you on the practice squad and try and develop you. That's gold. That's something you want. You want to teach them his hands and how to use all that stuff and the little tricks of the trade. If you have explosive pass rush ability, that's what you want. He doesn't have that.
And you look at, the Rams didn't keep him. And they made the reason was, well, we needed depth on the practice squad because we're thin other places. Not with 10 practice squad spots.
No.
You keep guys that you think can be players for you in the future.
Right.
And they obviously did not see Michael Sam as that guy.
I went back and over the weekend and watched his plays and went through them. And there's a play, and you tell me if this is concerning to you. It was to me when I saw it. There's a play on the goal line against Cleveland where everybody is off the ball and engaged with Brown's offensive lineman, and he's still in his stance. I mean,
well, you don't want to make a judgment based on one play.
No, but there's no suddenness to him.
He's not explosive.
Right. And, you know, the sacks he got, he also got them against guys that were cut, which is another thing that you have to factor in. But would I put him on a practice squad? Maybe. Because if you could teach him some things, you never know. But if the Rams didn't think he was good enough for their practice squad, that's a red flag. And nobody's not picking him up because of who he is. They're picking him up because of who he is as a player.
And I'll go as far as saying, if you can play in this league, whether you're straight or gay, they want guys who can play.
They don't care. They want.
There's all shapes, sizes, lifestyles in the locker room. They were back there when I played. They're in there now. all different kinds of people doing all different kinds of things, and if the one consistent quality is that you can play.
Show up, work, and play. Period. End of story.
Jaguars are off tomorrow. This is a regular season week, so off on Tuesday, back in the practice field Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Travel Saturday to Philadelphia for the Sunday 1 o'clock kick. We won't see you again, Pete, until next Monday. Who you got Sunday?
I picked the Eagles, but I think the Jaguars are going to be feisty on defense. I worry about the offense. I just don't think they're good enough on offense. I think they'll turn the ball over a couple times, short fields, and the Eagles will turn that into points.
What's the point differential at the end of the game?
13-14, something like that. You?
I think it's a close game going to the fourth quarter, and then the Jags are going to have to get a turnover or two.
Oh, you possibility of an upset.
If they can get turnovers. Listen, this team's going to have to create turnovers.
I mean, if anybody gets
turnovers.
No,
that's what I'm saying. But that's, I mean, listen, you got to create turnovers.
The differential in the preseason, though you're not a preseason stats guy, that was a positive. They got the ball.
Listen, but the Eagles are favored. I mean, they're the more veteran team.
And it's on the road.
It's hard going opening day to another ball club's, right. Field.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough task for a young team. Too tough.
Great
but
show.
Maybe next week I'll come back here and they'll shock the heck out of us.
Who knows?
Or me, anyway.
Any given Sunday, right?
Or they could lose 45-7 and Bortles will be in week 2.
I don't see that happen.
Well done, guys. Thanks a lot. Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Our thanks to Scott Irvine in the studio. Joe Fortunato is the Jaguars manager of radio. For Boselli and Prisco, this is JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.